Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And let's go before his face then. Our Father and our God, we have assembled here for the purpose of meeting with you. We have come to seek you. We've assembled more than two or three in the name of Jesus Christ that we may meet with our covenant God. And our prayer is that you would meet with us. That you would fill us with your Spirit, that our worship may be in spirit and in truth. That Jesus Christ might be glorified in our assembly, and that we, as a consequence of assembling together with you, might become more like him. Please, our earnest desire is that you would accomplish this prayer, which we ask of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory,
and the glory forever.
Amen. After all these years. Please take your Bibles and turn in the New Testament to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through verse 30. Let us hear God's inerrant word. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, You will surely say this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Then all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. God bless the reading of his word. We turn for our confession to the word of God. Inside front cover of your hymnal, the law of God. And we will read the law responsively. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me,
but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
6 days you shall labor and do all your work.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
You shall not murder.
You shall not commit adultery.
You shall not steal.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1, let's hear the inerrant word of our God. The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. And may he bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this Sabbath day. We give you thanks for the moisture we had during the night, the trimming of the trees. We give you thanks for what you have done to bless us. We give you thanks that you've kept us safe through the night, that you've allowed us and indeed have called us to assemble here together to meet with you, to have a taste of our eternal Sabbath rest, to meet with you, with your Son, and with your Spirit, to meet not merely in this room in Lincoln, Nebraska, but before your throne in heaven, to have the songs that we have sung be joined in by the angelic hosts and the saints who've gone before us. It is our prayer that this time together with you, hearing you speak to us, communing with you, might have the effect that we would become more like our Savior than we were when we entered. That we might be encouraged and strengthened in our faith, challenged to live for you. We pray for those who protect us, whether it's the police and firemen here in our city, or our nation's military. Keep them safe, we pray. Particularly those who are your own children. Keep them safe and use them to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray your blessings upon our leaders, that you would inhibit evil in their minds and hearts, that you would frustrate the work of evil men and women, and give us not the kind of government we deserve, but that which we need. Keep them safe. Help them, we pray, to give us good government, that here in the United States we may continue to have the freedoms that we have had, preach the gospel here, and to take the good news across the globe. I pray these things of you in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a boy, I got to take a trip to Independence Hall, Philadelphia. And in those days, the Liberty Bell was still in Independence Hall, Pennsylvania's old state house, in the hallway between the two large rooms, one of which, of course, where the Constitutional Convention was and the Declaration of Independence itself was written. That bell was one that you could still walk up to and touch when I was a boy. I know I got my finger stuck in the crack for a few moments. I was afraid they were going to have to come and, you know, grease it down or something. I was terribly embarrassed, but I managed to wiggle it out. That bell was created in 1751, and in 1751 it was ordered because of the 50th celebration of the constitution that William Penn gave to his colony. And that particular constitution had guarantees of liberty and of freedom, and that's why it was ordered. And of course, we all know that Leviticus 25 and verse 10 is written on it. So I want to read that to you. Leviticus 25, verse 9 says, "Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." Also read verse 13. "In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession." Now, that bell was known as the State House Bell until around 1840 or so, when the abolitionists christened it with the name of the Liberty Bell, because they noticed that this text, which I just read for you, the reference both to the Jubilee, the 50th anniversary, of course, or the Jubilee of William Penn's Constitution, but also the connection to the freeing of slaves. That's why it was given that name. Here in Isaiah chapter 61, chapter 60, Isaiah has proclaimed the deliverance that will come to the people of God, the benefits that will come. Here in chapter 61, he begins to tell us the person who gives the benefits and how. And in this section, we have an allusion back to Leviticus 25, when there is the statement of to proclaim liberty to the captives and to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. If you'll notice here in chapter 61 and verse 1, there is the statement, and is typical. Hebrew poetry, you find two different ways to say the same thing. "The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me." He has made me a Mashiach by the pouring out of not oil, but that which the oil is the sign and seal of, the Spirit of the Lord Yahweh. E.J. Young points out something very interesting in these two lines. We have a Trinitarian statement here. The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh, God, and me, and then Yahweh again, so that we have both the Messiah and the Spirit and the Father in this half verse of Isaiah chapter 61. And of course, this also should call to mind to us the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the pouring out of the Spirit upon him, and then the Father's proclamation concerning him. Here is the statement. Jesus has been baptized, anointed with the Spirit of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one who brings the deliverance that is discussed in the previous chapter. And he has been anointed. He has had the Spirit of the Lord God put upon him. that he may proclaim glad tidings or good news or the gospel to the poor. Only those who have empty wallets get to hear it, right? No. There's more discussion here about who these poor are. In the very next line, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. No, it won't move. Those who are poor are those who are brokenhearted, and they are the ones who are captive. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now you know why we sang our first hymn. These are all descriptions of those who are of true Israel, but not yet. Elect, yes, but they are poor. They're brokenhearted with their sins. And they are the captives of sin and Satan. And the day of vengeance and the acceptable year of the Lord has come, that he would deliver them. That's the point of the good news. Those who are poor in spirit will be rich with the blessings of God. Those who are brokenhearted because of the depths of depravity within them and the sorrow over their sins will be bound up or healed. And those who are in prison to sin, slaves of sin, will be set free. That's what chapter 60 was talking about. And it's accomplished by this one who has the Spirit of God poured out upon him, the one who has come to proclaim this glorious good news. And so we then find in Luke's gospel, Jesus in his hometown. I couldn't help but smile rereading it, because when I read E.J. Young's commentary, I thought he made a mistake, and now I know he has, because he thought this took place in Capernaum, but the text tells us it takes place in Nazareth, where Jesus was raised, where everyone he's speaking to knows him. He has already begun to preach. He's already begun to do powerful things. He is returning, verse 14, in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. You can't miss what Luke is saying there, particularly when we get to the story that starts in verse 16. So he comes to Nazareth, his hometown. It's his custom to go in the synagogue. And for whatever reason, he's handed the book of the prophet of Isaiah. He's asked to speak. Maybe he asked for the book of Isaiah. We're not told. But he picks it up. He opens to that place we just read. And he reads these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord, to proclaim liberty throughout the land. Closes the book and he sits down, which is their custom. Remember when I had my hip surgery and had to preach sitting down? That's the custom of their day. All we're told about his message is one little line in verse 21. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, you and I might read that and think, that's it, it's done. So it's all history for us, right? The prophecy is finished. It's complete. Not quite what Jesus is saying. Yes, it was fulfilled, but it is not fulfilled. So we've come back to that old famous the now and not yet. It was fulfilled because he is the one who is the Mashiach. He is the one who is the Messiah. He is the one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord is. Notice again, verse 14, he returns in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. But the proclamation didn't stop with Jesus. You and I are still proclaiming his message. And while he proclaimed it in Judea and Samaria and Galilee, he told his disciples and those who are the successors of his disciples that we would take it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And it's still going. Those young ladies who are going to farthest, darkest North Platte are taking the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are proclaiming the good news to the poor. They've come to heal the brokenhearted. They have come to preach deliverance to the captives and to proclaim the glorious year, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, to proclaim liberty to those who are oppressed. True Israel is set free by Jesus Christ. When we looked in chapter 16, we saw all those connections to the book of Revelation, the end of the book of Revelation, with the coming of the New Jerusalem, which has come and is not yet here. We saw those connections because the proclamation is one of the deliverance of the entire people of God, all of the elect, whether we're the physical seed of Abraham or not. We are his spiritual seed. We are his heirs. Not deliverance from the Babylonian captivity. That was a captivity, yes, but from a far greater captivity. One that one only pictures for us. We discussed briefly in Sunday school about the horrors of what Assyrians and Babylonians did and others. And the psalm was Psalm 137, right? I think verse 9, 8, 9, 10. I can't remember now exactly. The horrible things that were done. And do you not know that those historical facts that were being discussed are also a picture of a far crueler conqueror? Satan, the adversary, the accuser. And he has us in a far greater captivity until Christ comes and sets us free. But the good news, my brothers and sisters, the good news to the poor is he has come to heal the brokenhearted. Do you remember when Jesus said that he had not come to call the righteous to salvation? He has not come to call those who do not have broken hearts. He has not come to call those who are quite satisfied with their sins and proud of them. He's come to call those who feel their chains, who know their guilt and their corruption and cannot deliver themselves, who feel the captivity and yearn to be free. That's who he's come to deliver. Do you feel it? Remember the song? Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, the dungeon flamed with light. The chains fell off. Yes, it's a drive from what happened to Peter, the imagery, but it's also derived from this passage as well. The reason Wesley can take those words of Peter and apply them to us is not just because it's a good picture of what happened to us, but because what happened to Peter historically and actually and physically is what happens to each and every one of us spiritually when we're redeemed, when we're converted. And then we can rise and follow him. Not just follow him, but with him proclaim the good news to the poor and to the brokenhearted, just like us. To proclaim the good news to ourselves. That's what you and I do when we go into our closet and we take our Bibles and we open it up and we read of these things. We are proclaiming the good news to ourselves as we seek to see the continuing liberty that we have in Christ. Is your heart set free Is your heart broken with your sin? Do you yearn to have the freedom from it? Do you go to the Word with a broken heart because you still transgress His law? And you feel contempt for yourself, and you yearn, what do I have to do to become what I can be? Look again, we're still in Luke, or if you're still in Isaiah. The answer is found in the first line of what Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, the Lord Yahweh is upon me. It is by what Christ has done through the Spirit that we have that freedom. And it's by going to these promises, this proclamation, and asking God to do what He says He's done, that we can have it. He has accomplished it. We have the healing of our broken hearts and the deliverance and the recovery of sight, and we are set at liberty in Christ. And if we're not, we need to ask, am I in Christ or not? Let's bow our heads and our hearts before Him. Father, this is one of the most famous passages in Isaiah. And He has taken bits and pieces from other revelations that You had given to him and pulled them together so that in two little verses we have the whole good news of Jesus Christ 700 years before He was born. Then we read in Luke's gospel of the Spirit coming upon him at his baptism, the Spirit leading him in the wilderness, and then the Spirit leading him as he goes and preaches the good news, just as Isaiah prophesied. And that same Spirit is ours, if we're in Christ Jesus. I ask, Father, for myself, I ask for my brothers and sisters, that we would make sure of our salvation. Have we been set free? Did we have broken hearts, and have they been healed? For if not, we have nothing good to tell anyone. And if they have, we have the greatest news in all the world. Christ has set us free. Let liberty be proclaimed throughout the land. I pray this of you in Christ's name. Amen.